Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I know you love that man. I know that he has been laying it down real good. But at the end of the day will end and it's you that's going to jail.
Facts. He said he'll pay it back for me. Are you saying a man who needs a loan in the first place? Where's he going to get the money from? Does he have a J-O-B?
He has a CCJ, but not a J-O-B. No J-O-B.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, ha.
It's hot.
It is.
TMS hot takes.
But it's also very cold outside.
Very cold. And guys, I'm tired.
Aww. Prayers for red caps, man.
Guys, I'm currently afflicted with some kind of cold.
You are not afflicted. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You have been touched.
You sound, sound exactly like my mom. Because I definitely told her this morning that I'm ill. She said, you are not in Jesus' name. This is what happens when you have a prayer fortress around you. I even feel myself getting well. But yes, guys, apologies in advance if I sound a little bit nasally in this episode. We are overcoming. We are overcoming.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
TMS hot takes.
Welcome to a midweek episode. Funnily enough, actually, quick shout out to the girlies.
Come on,
sisters.
Now.
I've been bumping into so many sisters outside.
Same.
Yeah, like, I don't know if the numbers are growing or you guys are encroaching on our living area. But
they're like, where you live? Somewhere.
So, no, honestly, it's been so nice bumping into you guys. Like, when you see us outside, no matter how fast we're walking and stuff like that, like, yeah. Please stop us and say hi.
Please.
We are London girls. So if we look stush, we're not rude.
You
we actually
know.
Like people.
We do.
But yeah, we're just Londoners at heart. But anyways, I've been bumping into so many people and so many of you have been saying how much you love TMS hot takes, which is so kind.
That makes me so happy.
Thank you.
Honestly.
So glad you're liking this midweek episode.
It's giving multifaceted because as much as our Sunday episodes are often about something quote unquote deep, sometimes it's just nice to just gist with the girls and just have a little chin wag, a little pick me up, especially because the weeks are still cold, at least in London. I know there's a whole bunch of
April. Close to May.
Close to... I'm hoping that it gets sunny before it hits your birthday because...
Really? You better raise that prayer point. Because why? I was outside today with no jacket after the gym.
Stop. Oh, stop.
I said this could be October.
Yeah, no, stop.
Why is it this cold?
Yeah, no, no, no. In all seriousness, stop. Like, it needs to be like hotter in May, especially because, well, we'll see how it goes. Please, guys, do not hold me to this, but it's looking likely that I may be doing my first like run thing.
Oh,
yeah.
So Miss Renee, Miss Renee has signed herself up to run the Hackney 5K.
Yeah, guys.
Marathon Bay.
Please, 5K. That's the smallest that they could afford us, yeah. But who knows? We'll see how it goes. And then if marathon is in my, well, at least half. 10k.
Let's make steps, increments.
Yeah. It needs to be warm because as I've started picking up this running thing, I realized outdoors is cold.
Facts.
And I don't like that.
Facts.
And everyone is like, oh, you know, as a runner, like, you'll just get used to it. No. I don't want that to be my lifestyle.
Facts.
I like warm weather.
Yeah, I'm an indoor walk babe. All of my steps
indoors. Real rap.
Unless it's a nice day and I can go to a park.
Do you know how nice it is when it's like springtime and you're just able to like walk around, get your like nice iced coffee, like live your best life. It's April. Pattern up. And also, like, with climate change, this sounds so bad, but I was hoping that
it'll be hotter because of climate change. Global warming.
Warming. Yeah. And yeah, things are not changing.
Literally.
They're remaining the same. So... But anyways, do you have any particular points, any conversation starters?
I thought we could talk about, funny enough, in my meeting this meeting, that is what you call a stroke. A mild stroke. Okay. It's because I was trying to say three M words
at the same time and they all came out. came out okay. at the same time.
This morning, I had a meeting with my mentee. Yes.
Three of them at the same time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And she brought up a really interesting point yeah. about how a lot of content creators mm-hmm. are starting to get 9-to-5s.
Yeah.
And like entering into, like, I guess, traditional work. And I thought that would be a really cool thing to discuss because we talk about influencing content creation. Yep. We are content creators. So I think that would be quite cool as we are seeing like economies change and different industries grow.
Yeah.
I also thought we could talk about what we're watching on the flicks of the net.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we've been watching some interesting stuff on the Netflix.
Yeah. Some harrowing and disturbing things.
Yeah. That is pretty much what I was thinking. How about you?
Yeah, so I've got something, well, a couple of things, and by a couple I mean two, because a couple is two. Oh my gosh. Yeah, see what I did there. The first thing was straw purchasing. So I was watching this story on YouTube about a woman who ended up in jail because she was making straw purchases for her boyfriend who was a criminal. And straw purchase is just a fancy term for when you buy something for somebody who is either unable or cannot buy something for themselves.
Okay. Yeah.
So she was buying some goods that unfortunately landed her in some hot water. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing, completely less serious, but language barriers and intimacy. So dating people, for example, that speak different languages to you. There was a particular story of a babe who was going out with her boyfriend who's from France. And when they were getting intimate, obviously she's hearing Francais, thinking he's saying some really romantic things to her. She started picking up beginner French and realized that this man was calling her a dirty little monkey in French when they were having sex.
A dirty little monkey. She's black, he's white.
And there was no race was involved, but I was like, that's very specific for you to be calling your girlfriend.
And a dirty little
basically
monkey.
Everything that she used to do to annoy him that he would never say in English, he would say it in French whilst they were having sex.
That's a hate crime. That is a hate.
Mm-hmm. Like, imagine you're sleeping with someone, they're all of this j'adore, but really they're saying I hate you.
Oh dear. Well, we could actually start there. First of all, entering into a relationship.
My lingua.
I don't understand how you can enter into a relationship with someone you cannot fully understand, because like 70% of intimacy is communication.
But you know, it's one of those things where like when you hear someone speak in another language, because he's bilingual and she's an English speaker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, sometimes you hear someone speak their language and you're like, that's sexy. Oh, that's cute. No. Talk to me. Fromage.
Not cheese.
Yeah, cheese. Poulet. Chicken. And she was like, oh, I wanted to surprise him by learning a couple of like French words. We had been going out for like maybe a year or two. Mm-hmm. And she was like really into it, like when they were having sex. And he was saying all these French words to her. It's just that she didn't understand. And literally, as she started taking these classes, she began to realize, hang on a second.
This man.
You're complaining about me like not doing the washing whilst we're having sex. You're calling me an annoying, dirty little monkey. Like real... cussing her out whilst they're having sex.
Yeah, that I don't understand. Because you know how like when you ask people about like dating someone who speaks another language or comes from a different country or whatever, and they're always like, I don't want my kids insulting me and me not being able to understand. Exactly. You need to be able to understand some of the language. But, you know, fair enough. I don't think I have the capacity to learn languages. Like, I don't think my brain works that way. It will only be the gift of the Holy Ghost.
110%.
That allows me to be.
Not bilingual in the Holy Spirit. In the gift of tongues. Literally.
But I feel like now that you know, you better pull him up on it you really have quickly. To. Yeah. Well, you should learn some.
I was about to say.
You counter attacks.
Call me a monkey or cow in French. Do you know how mad that is? Somebody is dirty time and you're there whispering that in my ear. Call it a monkey.
Monkey. Cow. Oh. Anyway, the relationship is over.
Woo.
This is not a small issue. The relationship is done.
That's mad.
The relationship is done. There's no other. How do you come back from? The relationship is done.
Wow.
Yeah. Sad. Oh.
Would you ever date someone that's bilingual?
Yes, I would. But I would really, like, every time they say something. Can you just say that again?
Google Translate.
Literally, no, it's not me that you can be cussing that's out insane. In front of my face.
It's not even with, like, friends or anything. We're actually getting intimate.
Exactly.
You are, like, touching me up and you're whispering about a monkey in my ear.
It's a hate crime. I'm resolved. It is a hate crime and he needs to be dealt with.
That's
severely.
Crazy.
Wow.
Nah, I'm sorry. When I heard that story, I was creasing.
That is wild. That is wild.
Because it's not even like there's like dirty talk where it's like, okay, so it's a bit degrading, but people like that. It's a kink. Yeah. I don't know if there's anyone out there that likes to be called a dirty little monkey.
I'm telling you, it's a fetish of the racial kind. Of the racial kind. Anyway, sisters, you know us and France, we're in a bit of a tense situation.
It's not adding up well. France, sort it out.
Get it together, man.
We want to have good stories coming up from France, but our interactions with France so far have been questionable,
subpar.
Well,
talking about other relationship shenanigans, talk to me about this.
Steward?
Sorry, I'm trying to remember the word you said.
Straw purchasing.
Fishing is also a crime.
That's true. Straw purchase. So there was also a story, tangential, but related to why I'm hearing all of these stories. Mm-hmm. So I've been on TikTok and on YouTube recently, and you know when they dramatize the Reddit stories?
Yeah.
All the Reddit stories. Oh my gosh, guys, I've been in wormholes this week. I'm like, she did what? And this was a Reddit story.
That's hilarious.
Where basically a babe who was, I think she was pregnant or either had given birth or whatever, but she ended up in jail because her boyfriend and also the father of her child was involved in criminal activity. So he was like part of gangs. He used to do robbery, just all sorts of things that were just illegal. And he had really bad credit. Obviously, he had been part of the system. So there were certain things that he couldn't buy. She used to buy contraband for him. This is from the United States. Yeah. So you can buy things like guns and etc., which I think is still crazy, wild to me. She was buying contraband for him and stuff like that. And I think she purchased him a gun that was used in a crime that he committed. But because the gun was registered to her, she got charged as well.
Yeah.
And I think it resulted in somebody's death, which also meant that she went to jail, even though she wasn't the person that committed the crime.
Yeah.
And it just made me question just the whole, not me eating the mic. It made me question and just think about a whole bunch of things around this whole narrative, the ride or die chick. What are you willing to
literally
do for your man?
Exactly what came to my mind.
Yeah, and the fact that obviously this is a very extreme example of a straw purchase, but a lot of people actually do this for their significant other in so many other capacities, right?
Yeah.
You be buying a car for somebody that has like bad credit, or you be buying like, you know, just certain assets we've almost normalized, especially when we are with somebody who probably needs to get their ish together. Oh, let me like tide you over, hold it down until you're able to sort yourself out. And they never do. And I want more for the girlies. I know you love that man. I know that he has been laying it down real good. But at the end of the day will end and it's you that's going to jail.
Facts.
Like, think.
It is not worth it.
Think, really.
It is not worth it. This whole getting somebody a line of credit, he bought this in my name, I'm just supporting him, he needs this. Why does he need a gun? Why does he need a gun? And why are you supporting it? Number two, this is your future on the line. This is not just the, oh, me and you together
and
forever. Because ride or die only it only ends one way, death. It's in the term. It's literally a conditional statement.
That's ride crazy.
Or die. So why are you signing yourself up for that, right? Any man who would make you put yourself in danger in that way, put your child in danger in that way, not just the danger of being around firearms, but the danger of maybe having parents that are in prison or having a father who's not going to be around anymore, having a mother who's not going to be around. Any man who can make you put yourself in that situation is not worth fighting for.
Mm-mm.
Number two, don't be dumb. This is your future. If child. Your credit is destroyed, that man can
He can be going.
You know what I mean? He can go to prison. He could find somebody else. This is not somebody worth putting your entire future down for. So I think we need to be smart, because this is mistakes that we have seen past generations make, and it doesn't end well. So we need to learn from the wisdom of experience and stop doing that nonsense, right?
Do you remember Tinder Swindler?
Exactly.
Oh, what do you mean? Oh, I'm getting a loan
to give it to you. Who do you think's gonna pay it back? He said he'll pay it back for me. Are you saying a man who needs a loan in the first place? Where's he gonna get the money from? Does he have a job?
He has a CCJ, but not a job. They got a warrant out for his arrest. Talking about job.
This man cannot get a job. Use your oblongata.
Let the frontal lobe connect.
Use it.
That's crazy.
Use it. Use your cerebral cortex and all of the things out there. Something. Your frontal lobe.
Because what do you mean you gave this man 10K?
And also, who did you talk to about this? Because I know if you spoke to your mom, as long as she's, you know, well. Or but, has any ounce of sense. But no one would allow you to do this.
This is why we need community, facts. Man. Because there's just no way. I could not even fathom coming to you and saying, Courtney.
The first question is, why can't you get it for yourself? Then we're going to open up Experian and say, listen, look at all the negatives they've listed here. Go and get your credit report and call the debtors. Sort it out, and if you can't, go and get a work.
No, real rap, real rap.
Get on the electoral roll.
You know what? Yeah, I feel like, you know, when you're dating someone or you're, you know, ready to be with someone, you need to do a CRB CV check. I am very much in favor of, I want to see your full credit history. I want to know how you spend your money. I want to understand what your relationship is like with financial institutions, because if you are blackballed, that's my future that you're playing with.
My future.
And I can't be out here taking such risk when you have no receipts and you have not demonstrated yourself as a trustworthy person in the eyes of the law.
And also, I can't afford it. Because what you're essentially signing me up for is to be a guarantor. I can't guarantee nothing. I'm barely surviving.
I ain't got nothing for you. That's crazy.
If this loan defaults or if this thing goes tits up, I'm going.
I'm going.
To
and
jail.
It's my name exactly. on it. Nah, man. Guys, sorry.
The Bible says a good name is worth more than riches.
Real rap.
Keep your name clean and do not put it on the line for anybody.
Not at all.
Especially somebody whose background. I know you're in love with him, sis, but this man's background is sketchy.
Also, this is going to be, it's not really controversial because I'm a Christian and I believe in the sanctity of marriage.
Come on, somebody.
I just think that it is unwise for you to be doing this kind of stuff with a mere boyfriend.
A prophetess.
A mere boyfriend.
A real apostolic mere friend of this generation.
A friend that is a male. No, because deep it. It's not even like you have any legal claim to this guy.
Facts.
It's not even like if you were to divorce or whatever, the loan is something that you guys have pursued joint. This is a friend that is a boy. Boyfriend. I put it to you, sisters. Is that the wise thing to do?
Stop doing it.
To give this man money in the hope that he would pay back. To take out a loan in your name for him to buy contraband. It's called contraband for a reason. For this guy who has not shown.
Very wild, but
what?
I said instead of you to be buying contraceptives. How? I feel like because I would guess the thinking is like, I've already lived with this man. Maybe I've already had a child with this man. Like, what lengths would I not go to for this person? Don't go any lengths. You've gone way too far.
You've gone too far.
Do you get what I mean? That's to be crazy. Entertaining a criminal, sis, please.
Leave it alone.
It's not going to end well.
Listen, ladies, in fact, that in of itself, if a man comes to you and he says he's looking for a ride or die, I swear that's a red flag.
He wants to kill you. Actually, it's an assassination.
The
attempt.
Only ride or die is Jesus.
Thank you. Really very
and he died already.
And he resurrected.
And he came back.
Some of y'all can't do that. You're dead and gone.
Not only that, but your credit
is
gone.
So what are you offering?
Nah, that's crazy. Anyway, sisters, arise and shine. I would love to hear stories of either when you were blindfolded by a man, blindsided, tomfoolery has ensued.
Yeah.
Like, because I think people don't realize just how easy it is to be bamboozled by somebody that's treating you well.
Facts. You have to open your easy. Eyes.
Or like for whatever reason, you're really in love with this guy or you feel like there isn't anything better for you. I just refuse to believe that if you are with somebody, a boyfriend, even borrowing money, I'll be looking at you crazy after a certain amount of money.
No.
After a certain amount, I'm looking at you funny. My boyfriend. My friend.
And it raises all the questions, right? Which is, why don't you have money? Why don't you have money? No, real rap.
And why are you blackballed?
Thank you. Real rap. Why and then all of the answers to those questions are the answers you need as to whether to see whether this is someone you need to tie your which future to. Know.
Exactly.
Usually it's it,
you know?
Because I think it's wild. And you know what? This is also not gender specific, right?
Yes,
like,
if you
are a girl and you're expecting a guy that is your boyfriend, it might be controversial to some, but this is my opinion. Mm-hmm. So come and fight me if you like. You're expecting this boyfriend of yours to hold it down, to take out loans in your names, to purchase you like very, very excess. No.
That's robbery.
It's a no from me.
It's actually robbery.
It's a no from me.
Oh my gosh.
Stop it. Insane.
It's not worth it. Like, and this is not to say that anyone with a criminal history or anyone who has had bad credit in the past is not deserving of a relationship. It's not to say that at all. Everyone has their wild days. Everyone maybe has a past. The issue is, have you learnt that this is wrong? And the evidence that you are sending me to go and do what already got you in trouble is proof that you have not learnt your lesson. And so also, we're going to be in this cycle.
If you want to be implicated in criminal activities, sis, that's your own prerogative. That's that.
You can't blame anyone. You actually can't. The criminal justice system doesn't really honour the excuse of naivety.
They don't care.
They don't care about the excuse of love and romance.
You guys think this is Bonnie and Clyde.
Do you get what I mean? This, don't let people fool you. Do you get what I mean? And sometimes, you know who I blame for this? Beyonce. Beyonce, love you to pieces. Beehive, don't come from me because I'm hiding behind the cross.
You're not hearing
However, no, I mean in the sense that, you know, like, they had that whole, like, Bonnie and Clyde kind of vibe going on. Yeah, it's like the glamorization of, like, oh, what's that song? Who wants that perfect love story anyway? Cliche. On the Run, part two, I think.
Oh, praise God. I know there's some Beyonce listeners that are just clicking off right now. Stay with us.
I feel like the romanticization of that Bonnie and Clyde, obviously Beyonce and is not to blame, but I mean like glamorizing the Bonnie and Clyde aesthetic or story when actually you're clearly not living that life. You're clearly not living that life. Yeah. Like you're a billionaire. You're not doing Bonnie and Clyde. You're making your money very legally. Well, yeah. Anyway, hopefully. You're making your money very legally. And so a lot of us like fall into the glamorization of this thing, but you don't have the fail safe that say a Beyonce or a Jay-Z have, which is the fact that the wheels are not going to fall off. Your wheels are very secure.
Or this whole idea that your security and comfort and your safety comes from your interaction with this guy is me and you against the world. But why are you fighting the world?
Facts.
You're in it.
Facts.
You have to obey by the rules of the institutions that govern this land that you're in.
Treacherous behavior.
And what happened to Bonnie and Clyde? They died. Stop it.
That part.
Would you ever make a purchase on behalf of somebody else?
Not like if it's not a gift, no.
She said not if it's not a gift.
But you understand my philosophy of borrowing is don't give what you can't afford to lose.
Right. Facts. I can't afford to lose like 10k, bro. Can't believe it.
Or my credit score. My credit score can't go down to poor in a world where credit is like how you navigate financially. Mm. It's not going to work. I can't put that on the line.
I also cannot afford to purchase any contraband. So please don't look to me for any illegal stuff, drugs. No, I can't buy that for you.
Facts.
Oh. Don't do bad, sisters. Look for men that are upstanding members of the community, please.
And we will encourage you to be the same. Well, that brings us on to creators entering their 9-to-5 era.
Yeah,
why do you think it's happening? There's that trend.
You know what? I think, Omo, in this life, the way that the economy is, being a creator in terms of the biggest ways that creators often monetize is through brand partnerships, it's through essentially the mechanism of being a freelancer. A lot of content creators are freelancers. And one thing that we have seen time and time again is that the gig economy, freelancer economy is woefully unstable and very much ungoverned. So ebbs and flows, all that kind of stuff. We were seeing in like 2020, 2021, the booming of the creator economy, right? Where lots of people were getting brand partnerships. We had the attention of the world literally on our sofas. Whereas now, I feel like, not to say that the economy has completely dipped, but budgets are now tightening up. And being a creator is hard. I think a lot of people don't, first of all, they still don't really give creators what creators are due. They don't see it as a serious profession. I think there's also still a lot of like discomfort talking about monetizing being a content creator, right? There's a lot of people that are like, oh, this is just entertainment. Why should you be making money from like being my entertainment? This stuff is hard. To be a creator, to be a performer or an actor or a producer or things that are related to content creation, these are skills. Yeah, it's really, really hard. And I think it's still woefully undervalued by a lot of people, which is why you will have lots of content creators that will work with brands that will undervalue them or brands that will undermine them. And then I think also just life is tough. Life is tough. And content creation can be sometimes quite unstable for those reasons. So sometimes having the 9 to 5 to supplement your income being a content creator is enough to help you on your journey to whatever it is as it pertains to your finances. So I don't blame anybody that is a creator and says, hey, I want to be in, you know, a 9 to 5 for a particular season of my life. I think it's also that, right? It's not them saying, I want to go back to a 9 to 5 forever. It may just be for this season of my life. I want to go back to being a 9 to 5 operator. Also, things, a whole bunch of things change in people's lives. Content creators get older. They don't have as much free time. They don't have as much luxury. They don't have, they may have more responsibilities. They may want to make bigger purchases on bigger assets that require a bit more financial stability in that can be proved to institutions. I think for all of these reasons, a lot of content creators are basically saying, you know what? I'll continue to create, but me, I'm going to also get a job. And that's okay. Or even skill building, right? I think sometimes being a content creator, if you don't have like a massive like production team or like organization attached to the work that you do, it's quite lonely. And you're by yourself and you have to be very intentional about the process of team building or skill development and all these kind of things. So it could also be that quite a few content creators are like, you know what? I want to learn some tricks of the trade. It makes sense for me to get a job or like go back to school or do things in more of an institutional setting to be able to develop the things that I want. So I actually, I'm not surprised. I do think that a lot of people, that well, not a lot, there are some people that are a little bit malicious in the way that they're interacting with like content creators going back to their 9 to 5s or like going to a 9 to 5 or like working on the side or stuff. It's like, oh yeah, we told you that this content creation thing, you can't do it full time and all that jazz. Right. I'm like, there are quite a few content creators that are absolutely bossing it and killing it and love it for them. Like absolutely adore it. And it's very much possible. It still is a lucrative profession. It still is a job that is worthy in its own right. I think it's just a very individual choice as to what works for you at your particular time in life. And don't be afraid to pivot forward, backwards, sideways, whatever way, as it pertains to what you want to achieve in your life. So I'm not surprised. I do think that, you know, ebbs and flows, the economy is always going to be chucking all sorts of nonsense at us. And it's not necessarily being a case of being like realistic in that content creation full time doesn't make sense, but it's more about what actually makes sense for you at this time. Is what I would say.
I completely agree with you, but I do also think it's heavy on that last point of, I think a lot of creators or people who go into more freelancing, contracting work aren't necessarily thinking about the entrepreneurial aspect of it, so that they have that diversified income outside of things like brand partnerships or AdSense revenue, because obviously those things are so reliant on like the economy, marketing budgets, companies actually getting revenue and making sales, or your content actually getting views. It's like there are other things you can do to make money as a creator, which will allow you to maybe still do this full time when those things inevitably dip. So I think diversifying is one thing. Two, I also think, like you said, a lot of people kind of
slight creators when they go full time. It's like, oh, look at you having to come back to reality.
Right.
And it's like, actually, not everyone is embracing 9 to 5 because they're desperately poor. Actually, a lot of people are coming to 9 to 5 because, like you said, like life's responsibilities have gone a level up, or because we are living in a world which is like, for the UK in particular, there are such traditional bureaucratic systems to things that like evolving careers don't really fit well with those systems. So like home ownership is still very much traditional in the way that they allow you to have it. Like, for example, if you work full-time 9 to 5, you only need to give about 3 months pay slips in order to get a mortgage. 3 to 6 months. Whereas if you're self-employed, they're going to ask you for like 2 years worth of accounts. It doesn't make it impossible, but you just have to prove yourself a lot more. Yep. So for someone who wants to do things maybe a bit quicker and imminently, it's like, I have to embrace a 9 to 5, or I have to delve more into that traditional route in order to make it happen. So I think what people need to grasp is that like, this isn't a downgrade. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah,
this is
exactly.
A strategic move. But then there are some people who are like, as a creator, it just wasn't working. And I love what you're saying. Like, a lot of people underestimate, and people including creators underestimate how much goes into content creation, especially around the expense side of things.
Mate.
Like, if, for example, the classic Manny, who I absolutely love, have loved for years.
Yeah.
He was talking about how he had to stop his podcast because at a point it got to like £150-200 to produce one episode. Now if you're having a season of like 20 episodes, that's a whole bunch of money for something that maybe isn't bringing in as much revenue. So when you have to invest in your content to that degree, it's kind of like, maybe I need to get a 9 to 5 so I can actually invest in what it is I want to do and kind of burn the candle at both ends. So I do think that it's a mix of different reasons. I actually love the trend. I do think that everyone needs to consider why they would maybe leave their 9 to 5 to become a full-time creator, and also vice versa, leaving full-time creation to become a 9 to 5er, because everything has pros and cons at the end of the day. And you may.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Find that actually your love is in the creative job that you find, because that's another thing. You're not just hopping from being a content creator to maybe becoming an accountant. You're gonna go and work somewhere that uses the skills that you've built up as a full-time content creator, right? So maybe you're working at an influencer marketing agency, or you're working as a creative director in a company, or you're starting your own company, whatever it is. So I think it's also leaning into those strengths and allowing yourself to explore, and maybe you'll actually find that content creation was just the means to this end versus the other way around.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Oh, what an interesting time to be alive, man. But money affirmate. Money affirmate.
And at the end of the day,
The day's gonna end.
Listen, ever since I heard that line, I want it on a t-shirt. Like, because at the end of the day, the day is going to end. Do you know what I mean? Money affirmate.
Big facts.
Things
big
are
facts.
Expensive.
Girl.
What?
Girl.
Things are expensive.
Did I say this story on the podcast when I went to Superdrug and I spent £60?
Yeah.
On
I don't think you said it on the podcast. No, when we were talking,
yeah,
you
mentioned it. I went to Superdrug one day just on my morning walk, and I was like, oh, I need to stock up on, you know, my faves essentials. Why? Small mascara, small lip gloss.
Ridiculous.
Here, small foundation.
Ridiculous.
Here. £60. I almost told that man untag all of them.
Put them
back on the shelves. I don't even need
you. You know, this is why people steal.
Facts.
This is why people steal.
Facts. What the hell?
Insane.
£60 great British pounds.
Oh,
that's like half a day's work. Or sometimes a day's work.
And
that's wild.
It's wild because it feels like products in general are becoming more expensive, but then they also feel like they're becoming more essential.
Facts.
It's like, as I'm getting older, I'm like, oh, I need to get this, I need to get this, I need to get this. But then now the products themselves are so expensive. I'm just like, what? And look, I know people like to come and flex and say, oh, it's not that expensive. Let me not yuck your yum, whatever it is that whatever, you're earning or whatever. I don't relative. Care. When I was young, I could go and buy makeup for like £10 and yeah. I would have a big bag.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. when I say I do minimalism, yeah, yeah part of it is by choice, but part of it is because...
Poverty.
Untenable.
I will not... I will keep using this thing till it's finished.
Real rap.
Till it is finished. I'm not going to overindulge, you know. Oh, last week we went to have breakfast with YSL.
That was lovely.
YSL Beauty.
That was wonderful.
Thank you for the invitation.
That was so
absolutely
lovely.
Absolutely love the Love Shine lipstick.
Fantastic.
To celebrate the launch of the Love Shine lipstick.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really, really nice. But we were so overjoyed by the fact they gave us a goodie bag full of full-size product goodies. Because
me and Courtney had a bet. We were like, are they going to put a bag in? A bag in.
Are they going to put a bag? But, you know, we left with what we had.
Yeah, that, and it was good.
Girl, I'm even wearing good. The Libra perfume right now. It smells so good. I smell you scrumdily, yum, yum. But yeah, so if you see me making content, it's giving YSL Beauty. It's 110%. Like, Courtney, you're not living. It was free.
It was gifted, babe.
It was gifted.
One thing about us is we ain't never gonna be those girls.
I will not lie. I promise anybody. You. I have nothing to prove.
100.
I have nothing to prove.
And I feel like as we're getting older, the more liberated I feel to say I ain't got to prove
nothing
to nobody.
To prove to you
nothing.
I'm sorry.
I ain't got nothing for you.
I don't care. If no, you that was prove.
Wonderful. That was wonderful.
That was a good time.
Good time, man.
Good time. But yeah, cut your coat according to your size.
Honestly,
it's that simple,
and that's okay. And if it looks like you getting a 9-to-5 or contract,
it's another stream of income, man. It's another stream of income. Last year I picked up freelancing for the first time. Well, okay, I am a freelancer, but like freelancing contracts.
Yeah.
Oh my god, my income skyrocketed, honey.
Money I for make.
It was fantastic. Money and it I was all make. Like it all helped me to become a better creator at the end of the day. So I think, guys, let's stop shaming people. Everyone's trying to do what's best for their future.
And it's like, even though even when we glorify specific like lifestyles or specific things or professions, so like for example entrepreneurs, this entrepreneur thing is hard. I remember there was like a meme or something that was like me working like from 6 a.m to like 9 p.m to avoid doing my 9-to-5, and I'm just like, that is the perfect representation of what it means to be an entrepreneur. Of course there's pros and cons, and I think that's right. It's the fact that all of these choices that we have to make about our lives will have pros and cons. Pick your poison.
Pick your hard.
And for some people, they enjoy the 9-to-5. They get to listen. There's a reason why baby boomers were there in their one job for 20 years. There's a reason.
Yeah, but that thing can't work anymore.
No, it can't. No. I mean, first of all, back in the day, they could be there for 20 years and they could buy their house with a salary of like 30K.
Yeah, true.
Meanwhile,
all is well.
Don't even think you could find a bedroom in London.
£30,000 will buy you a shoebox. No, an actual box of the shoe.
One of these days, we'll have a conversation about the rental arrangements in the UK right now, especially in London. Absolutely outrageous to me.
Insane. But yeah, flourish in everything that you do. May your hands prosper in whatever they touch.
Hallelujah.
My second thing of the day, my memory feels like it's failing me a little bit today.
Yeah, and I hear it.
I don't like that.
It's fine. It's
okay. But the second thing that I was going to bring up is, what are you watching on Netflix at the moment?
Good lord.
So guys, I started watching this thing called
Baby Reindeer,
and it is distressing and traumatic. Trigger warning. Whoa.
Yeah, so this is a recommendation we got whilst at the YSL Beauty Breakfast. And it was from Audrey from the Receipts Podcast. Boop, boop. Shout out to you. And she was talking about Baby Reindeer on Netflix, and she was like, you know, it's a bit of a horror but like psychological. And I was like, okay, watched it. I wouldn't say it's scary.
Yeah,
it's just horrifying. Yeah.
I wasn't afraid, but I was afraid.
I was disturbed.
No, it was quite disturbing.
It's a very disturbing series. However, it is written very well.
Very well, yeah.
It's written very well. Shout out to Richard Gadd, who is the writer, the creator, the lead actor.
Yep.
And the one who this story is based
the
on.
Inspo.
So he was really doing Marc Jacobs by Marc Jacobs with Marc Jacobs with Marc Jacobs. But yeah, it's so sad. It's such a sad story of a guy who's basically found himself a stalker.
Yep.
And the stalking kind of unlocks a lot of traumatic memories for him. So it delves into that story. And guys, it's very graphic. So I would warn you, especially episode 4.
Yeah.
I would warn you, it gets very graphic. But it's such a dark but beautiful exposure of like men, traumatic events, toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
It explores themes like how much do we want to be famous? How hungry are we for fame? To what extent will we go for fame?
Yep.
There's a lot explored in there. There's a lot explored.
The failings of multiple institutions for justice and safety of its citizens. In every sense of the world, from religious institutions to the criminal justice system, like crazy. The whole lot of you are just not on your, you're not standing on business.
Yeah. So
Baby Reindeer,
internalized patriarchy. There was a lot. Baby Reindeer is a really good watch, but you have to have a strong, be in a good headspace.
Yeah.
To watch it.
But definitely trigger warning. Sexual assault is mentioned and graphically portrayed. Yeah. So trigger warning.
Yeah. But it's a good watch.
Yeah, it is.
It's a hard watch, but good watch.
It's a very, the cinematography is very dark.
Very dark. And the thing is, it's contrasted so beautifully because obviously he's trying to be a comedian.
Yeah.
So there's like a lot of like lightness and awkwardness. And I found myself laughing out loud at like a few points. But then the sinister aspects are so dark. And that's why I say like it's written so beautifully because you want to keep watching despite the discomfort, but you will probably have a visceral reaction.
110%. His jokes were bad though.
Awful.
His jokes were so bad.
Awful. But that's what made it funny because it's like, how are you going to make it? You will never make it.
Fam. You know those stories of like, I moved to this place to see if I can make it. I was you might need to go back to Scotland. You might need to go back.
But he's made it now, eh? See how things work.
Another thing that I've watched recently actually is I finally watched The Iron Claw.
Oh, you watched it. Oh my. Is that already out? On like Netflix? She's a criminal. She's a criminal.
Well, let's just say I've seen it. I've seen it. And that's all you need to know. I've seen it. I've seen The Iron Claw.
It's okay. We don't need to go into it.
Yeah, we don't. That's how people end up in jail. And as I've said, I'm not the kind of person that would do well.
So you watched The Iron Claw somewhere.
Somewhere, somehow, even in the spirit. So I watched The Iron Claw. What a sad story. What a sad story. What do you mean? Like, it was so sad that I was like, this can't be real. And it was worse in real life.
Exactly. It was a very... Wow, we've really been in our sad...
Sad. We need to watch some things that are lightening up the mood and stuff.
Yeah, no, Iron Claw is sad.
My gosh.
Yeah, really sad.
And the love that the brothers had.
But how it all ended.
Their father was a bad man.
Exactly. And so was their mother.
Their mother was also terrible.
She might have been worse.
Yeah, she might have been. Yeah. Neglect.
Facts.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, man. If you are looking for something more lighthearted and a different genre.
Yeah.
Actually, before I move on to that, you know what I want to say?
What?
Shout out to men. Because those things that we just described, like they all center around men and male experiences you don't often hear.
Yeah.
And as traumatic as it is, and I don't want to romanticize trauma, it definitely does help you have some sympathy towards men because I think they're often caricaturized as just villains in today's society, especially through social media and different content that we watch. And I think those I wouldn't say they humanize, because they were definitely victims, but like it definitely makes you have a sympathy and just it touches on your heart, because you often hear in themes about like sexual violence and stuff, it's women who are victims, yeah. right? But for it to be displayed in such rawness, and even with Iron Claw, it's like the suffering of like men who are kind of coached in this toxic masculinity space and socialized that way, it's like you really do suffer.
Yeah.
And I think suffering is something we all share as humans, men, women, people, whatever. And so it's just like, wow, men be going through a lot. And I really hope society, especially men actually, do more for men.
But this is the thing, exactly. Patriarchy doesn't work for everyone.
Anyone.
Or anyone at all.
So yeah, but I was gonna say, if you want something lighthearted, the Black Beauty Effect on Netflix is a docu-series about Black beauty, honey.
Come on now.
The beauty industry, Black women. It is produced, created by, narrated by our good friend Andrea Lewis.
Hello, somebody.
Shout out to you, my LA babes. Come on now. She's absolutely amazing. She's an actress, but she's also just an amazing mind and a lover of beauty. It's also executive produced by Jackie Aina.
Wow, wonderful.
Yes. And there are a lot of people who feature in there who are heroes to the Black beauty scene in modern times, like the founder of Carol's Daughter or Olamide from Topicals. Like, lovely. There are different people in there that will really inspire you, but also get you thinking about our participation in the beauty world. So I'd highly recommend you watching that, because it is now available on Netflix UK.
Something lighthearted to watch. I definitely need that. So I'll be tuning in.
Do it.
Oh, exciting.
Wonderful stuff. Well, should we answer our dilemma before we go?
Yeah, I guess so. That
would be good. Our duty to the people then. All right.
What you got for us?
That's a very good point, because this is not the notes. Guys, I'm giving my first sermon at my new church today. Whee! So that's what was open on my phone. Anyways, hi girls, I have a dilemma.
Hi.
I'm in a group of friends that I have known since my college years. Mm-hmm. The dilemma is, I don't feel celebrated, cared for, or feel as though my friends as a group show up for me in the very same capacity I do for them.
Okay.
Backstory, in the years 2021 and 2022, my friends have either forgotten my birthday or wished me a happy birthday as an afterthought. Take into account that I wish them every year, and if they want to do an activity, I happily show up. In the year 2021, I got all my friends gifts for their birthdays. Aww. And here we are in 2024, and I haven't received a single gift from them.
Yikes.
Just a happy birthday, if they remember. I had a dinner last year where none of them could show up, and it ended with just wishes. Mm-hmm. When I tell people this, they give me the rhetoric that I shouldn't get people things if I just want to get it back. Apart from birthdays, I show up to important occasions of my friends' lives, such as weddings and baby showers. However, since I have not reached those events in my life, my friends don't show up for anything, let alone my birthday. I have brought it up once and they apologized. However, a couple of years later, I find myself in a similar position. Do I stop showing up for them completely because having to bring it up again breaks my heart? I love them very much, and this is weighing heavy on my heart. I would really appreciate if you shed some light on this for me.
That's a great dilemma. Well, not a great dilemma, it's a good question. First of all, sorry that you are going through this, sis. It's never nice to be in a situation where you feel like your friends aren't reciprocating. And I think, as somebody who I would definitely characterize as what seems like a giver, you like to show up for your friends, you like to go above and beyond. It can be really disheartening when it feels like it's not being reciprocated at the level that you would like. I would say that when it comes to friendships and relationships and giving people the opportunity to show up for you, you have to do it continually. I think it was great that you took this step a couple of years ago to mention to your friends, hey, sisters, I need you guys to show up for me in this particular way, and it really does hurt me. And I know, as much as it's heartbreaking to have to do it again, you need to do it again. I think it's an ongoing conversation to get people to change their behavior, to change their way, or to really understand how much this means to you. You have to sometimes tell them again and again and again and give them a couple of chances, especially since the last time that you brought it up to them was a couple of years ago. Mm. I think it can be something that, especially if you aren't like continually bringing it up or if it's something that you're not consistent with, that it can easily be swept under the rug. And I think because that's probably the only one time that you made it known to them that this is a big thing for you, it's easy. It sounds terrible, but it is easy to deprioritize. And I've definitely been in situations in both instances or both sides of the ocean here. So I've definitely been on the side of not really feeling like friends are reciprocated in terms of like showing up for me. But then equally, I've also been on the other side of a friend feeling or a couple of friends kind of being like, Renee, I really want you to show up for me in this particular way. Mm-hmm. But I think the most important thing there was communication. Yeah. And understanding that communication needs to be something that we do consistently mm-hmm. over time, and giving people multiple opportunities to show up before you start disconnecting and cutting off kind of friendships and whatnot. Really going through the journey of trying to repair, but also being clear as to what you want and you would expect from your friends as mm-hmm. well. I think it's less so about like them like reciprocating, but more so about you being very clear about how you'd like your friends to show up for you and why that's important for you. So for you, you've kind of said, you know, my birthdays are important, or like there's specific events that I really want you guys to prioritize. I think actually giving them the reasoning and saying, I want you to show up because these are the important landmarks in my life, and I would love for you as a friend to show up for me because it will make me feel X way. Mm. I think really underpinning and really expressing to your friends why these landmarks are important for you will help them, and even giving practical recommendations. Like I sometimes pull up my friends and be like, hey, I want you to be here at this time. And they're like, okay, yeah, sure. And then they might forget. Pull them up on it. Like mm. as friends and as people that you've known for years now, you should feel comfortable enough to have these conversations with them. Yeah. And if you don't, that's actually more indicative of another deeper issue yeah. that you need to face, which is you don't feel comfortable like just speaking to your sisters about something that bothers you, which may seem kind of inconsequential, but it's actually quite big. Yeah. So I think being bold enough and comfortable enough to say to your sisters, hey, I need you guys to show up for me because it's important to me. Right. Girl, you need to do that. And I think also kind of you'd need to give them the benefit of the doubt just a little bit. It's really crappy that they haven't like showed up for you. But I think sometimes it can be difficult for your friends to prioritize something if it's not been communicated or expressed to them adequately. And then we can have like practical solutions. Like, for example, for the majority of my friends, I have their birthdays in my calendar yeah. so that I know, okay, this person at this particular time, you send them a birthday message, you give them a gift. You know, this person, their love language is this. It may not be the gift. It may be sending them a really nice voice note. Yeah. It may be organizing some kind of brunch or whatever. But just being very clear about what it is that you want and not relying on people to reciprocate just because you have expressed your love to them in the way that you desire to be loved mm. and expecting them to show up for you when that hasn't really been expressed. So as much as it can be really, really frustrating and it kind of feels like your friends don't care for you or love you, I think you actually just need to give them more of an opportunity to show up for you. And I think also you need to communicate, sis. You absolutely must, because they're not mind readers. As much as you've been friends for years, people are going to get it wrong. And there's nothing aside from these kind of instances that you have marked to me that suggests that they are doing it out of malice mm. or suggest that they're I could be reading it completely yeah. wrong, but from what you've described so far, it doesn't sound like it's something that has been done intentionally or out of malice. Mm-hmm. It's more so you might need to give them an opportunity to like really understand how important this is to you and give them the opportunity to show up. Or if they don't show up, Shah, then you can make your decision. But yeah, that is what I would say.
I agree with you. I think it's about having a very hard conversation. I think you have enough receipts now to really pull them up on it.
Yeah.
But I think there might be something deeper here going on, because yes, life gets busy, people get married, they have babies, you know, but your friend's birthday,
yeah, like, it's quite serious.
Actually grown people, put it in your calendar. You can't continually forget, or something continually comes up. So I think it's worth also sitting down with maybe each of them individually or as a group and just being like, guys, it actually deeply hurts me that every time my birthday comes around, I feel like you guys forget or you treat it like it's not important. And I kind of want to understand like why. And I think that whole, oh, you shouldn't give wanting to receive, but it's important for friendships to be reciprocal,
right,
and for you to just feel appreciated, bottom line. And so I do think it's worth having that conversation. And I think if it's like, it doesn't change, you might need to cut your losses and go where you're appreciated. Because I think it would be sad for them to not celebrate your birthday when this matters to you. Some people, their birthday does not matter to them.
Yeah.
But if this matters to you, for them to not celebrate your birthday, but celebrate your wedding and celebrate your birth, your baby shower. And it's like, is it because I'm not married? Is it because I don't have a baby that you feel like my life events are not important? Like, and I think it's also worth viewing, like, how do they show up and celebrate you for other stuff in your life? Like maybe a promotion or just something that really matters to you.
Yeah.
How do they respond to that? Because it could be that for your friends, birthdays just aren't important, right? See how they also treat their birthdays as well. It's a techie one because it could end up in you basically having to find new friends, or distancing yourself, or just changing your expectations for the friends that you currently have. And that's hard.
Yeah.
But you might need to do that to guard your heart, because I personally think it's wild that every, like, after 1 year, even like sometimes, because I've not been perfect, there have been days where it will be a day later and I'll be like, crap, it was this person's birthday yesterday. And I even spoke to them and I didn't say anything. Crikey.
Yeah. Happy belated birthday.
Do you get what I mean? So embarrassing. But there's that guilt. And I think if there is no guilt there, then there is a sign as to where the level of intimacy actually is, and how much they are wanting to celebrate you. I think after the first year, it's kind of like, you did this last year as well.
Yeah.
So let's pattern up. Or I'm moving on. I'll invite other people to my birthday dinner. That's fine, because you guys never come.
Yeah. Oh, screaming. Yelling.
I'll give you the chance.
I think the late birthday one. You know those people that send happy birthdays at like 11 p.m.?
No, that's me though, sometimes. Listen, it's hard. Personally, I think if it falls in the 24 hours.
Screaming.
Or 48 hours, it should be accepted. Sorry. I accept birthdays.
I hear it.
Throughout like the whole month.
I hear it. That's true.
You know, and it also depends on the level of closeness you are to me. True. Like, let me be for real.
No, but if you're mad close.
Did not, yeah. That's,
I live with you. There's no. Exactly. You think I would be at your door at flipping 11:59 the day before saying hi?
But someone who's an acquaintance, it's like, like, happy birthday.
In fact, you should just wrap it up.
It's okay.
Even said in the whole paragraph, don't wrap it up.
No, I'm happy with that. I'm fine with that.
The paragraphs?
Not the paragraph, but like, if you're an acquaintance of mine, I'm happy with you sending like during the week, like, happy belated birthday.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to send you. No pressure at all.
No, not like a close
someone
friend.
Someone that's like, or like within our like, group immediate of friends circle. Yeah, our immediate circle. You got 11:59.
I will give you to the next day
first.
I will give you to the next day and first. Then we have something to talk about.
Screaming.
Because then after, because sometimes you don't remember it's someone's birthday until you've seen other people post that it's their birthday. You know, and I'm thinking about a couple of my friends who every year I just need to put their birthday in my calendar, but in every calendar. Year it's like, I think it's a different day. I have a lot of my friends are born in October. I don't know why. A lot of my friends are born in October.
What was happening 9 months before in October?
Do you get what I mean?
Is that Valentine's? Yeah, I think it's Valentine's.
No, I think Val's is November.
Oh, okay.
So January.
Happy New January Year. Blast.
No. Am I lying? 9 months is January.
Yeah.
Anyway,
January, February.
But I think November
July,
is.
August, September, October is the 10th month. So February.
But it's 40 weeks.
No.
40 January. Weeks is about 10 months. It's okay.
January, February time.
Yeah.
Between
simple
that time.
As. Simple as, you know.
Yeah, we know when y'all was messing around.
Anyway, it's actually not for us to know. I have a lot of friends born in October. It's like everyone's birthday gets muddled in my mind.
It's too much.
Everyone's birthday.
For me, it's May. There's so many May babies. I'm just like,
including me.
But it's not possible for me to forget
the
at this 4th point.
Of May.
It's just not possible. Knock.
17 other people. Anyway.
That's so true. The 17 others that I don't know, but that's their business. Awkward.
Well, yeah, sis. Sorry, it's prayers.
Well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, like, from the TMS sisterhood.
For all of the happy birthdays that they missed.
Yeah, happy birthday. You were worth celebrating. And if they don't want to give it to you, find it somewhere else.
And also, if you're listening to this and you have friends that are very close to you, put their birthdays in your calendar. now.
Yes, please. Now. And also you can put mine, so May 4th. 4th
of May, yeah.
And you can put Renee's February 3rd.
And if you want to send us a little something.
That's fake news.
Quite a few people. But the thing is, I feel like my birthday is so obvious to me now. But
well, it's always been your birthday, isn't it? I would be shocked if it wasn't.
I'm like, it can't be a third. But then occasionally I get 5th of February and like 1st of February. And I'm just like, no, 1st of February is too fast. It's fast. Yeah, you know,
that's very strange.
Whoa, February just came in. And then 5th just seems so random to me now. I'm like, where did you get that from?
They probably just remember it's an odd number.
In February and it's in the first week.
Yeah. No, Feb 3rd.
Isn't it funny how like birthdays only...
Oh my gosh, you're 3-2 and I'm 4-5.
Look at that. Check us out. We're such losers. Isn't it mad how like somebody can come into your life and all of a sudden a date that had no significance becomes now something. That's, do you know how mad
insane.
That is
insane. But it's the same with having children, right?
Insane.
Like you're just going through your whole life and then suddenly
I still forget my siblings' birthdays.
No, I know mine, not my,
I know siblings. Them, but you know sometimes the date but actually the year.
I hear that.
The year,
I hear that. I hear that. My sister was born in 2001.
I think my sisters were born in 2003. I think.
I feel like, were they born in 2000? Yeah, maybe. Because their birthdays are beginning of the year. Yeah, I think so.
I think so.
Because they're the year below my sister.
Yeah.
But my sister's an early born. So it makes sense. Mm.
As for my brother, somewhere in the 90s.
Something. Sorry, Brian.
No, I get that wrong. Yeah, the time. Year.
I don't know my older. I know my older siblings. Some of them birthday the years throws. Nah, I don't know.
As for my parents,
I know one because she's 10 years older than me.
As for my parents, you know them ones where no, do you know what,
firstly my dad's age is fake.
That's what I was gonna say. I was like, how do I put this without implicating anybody? Nah. Why do African parents do this?
Papers, Renee. Papers. Do you know how much our parents had to do for us to be born in this country with legal rights?
Facts.
Fake identities.
I couldn't tell you the day,
my bruh, imagine coming to a foreign country, suddenly you're 10 years younger than you actually are. Christ.
I actually couldn't tell you how old my dad
that's
is.
Not my dad's situation, actually. My dad is a legal citizen of the United States.
He is 100%.
I just want you to know he's a taxpayer. Listen,
our parents have citizenship. Thank you. Face your front.
Legally.
However.
Things had to be done. Yeah. Sacrifices.
Nah, sorry. I knew because my dad is allegedly born on the first day of a month. Okay. And I'm like, nah. Like, ain't no way.
You are lying.
This seems too clean of a birthday for this to be your birthday.
I hear it, but we thank God for the sacrifice.
We thank God. Sorry, that is so funny. First of all, that birthday ain't real. So even if I forget it, dang, he even forgets it sometimes.
But you know, it's also like I know in Ghana, it's like the systems aren't also there.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's like your records, you have to rely on your mum to remember, and sometimes that's even hard. So it's just like,
that's why our parents be looking our birth certificates under and stuff the under the bed.
Yeah, under the mattress to be specific.
To be specific.
Or one suitcase.
In one suitcase. Bruh. If there was a fire. God.
It's done. But paper systems don't work.
That's true.
Yeah.
Shout out to our parents, man.
For real, you know.
They're great.
Shout out to them.
We don't know when you came to this world, but
you came. We thank God. Anywho's.
Alas, we must go. But we'll see you guys. Well, we'll see some of you guys on Saturday where we'll be Step up for Ghana.
Yeah. And then Sunday's episode, man.
Ew. But yeah, sending lots of love and like pick me ups and them things there. I can't be doing it too formally. That's for like Sunday's episode when you're in your glowing and growing bag. This is just make it to the end of
just
the week.
Don't
give men too much money.
Please.
Especially your little boyfriend.
Please.
If he's doing illegal things, keep it legal, baby.
Be for real.
Leave that man alone. Anybody that is currently in bondage with a man that is conducting illegal activities, break it now.
Be delivered.
Go and find an upstanding member of the community, somebody that upholds the legalities and the lands that you are. observing.
Well, yeah, sisters, have a good day, have a good week, have a good life. Bye.
Bye.
Insane.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.